I always suggest creating a board of directors or board of advisors if you are a LLC, because what this means is this is a close group of individuals that you talk business with that can help your company go into the right direction.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kate Walker. I'm a marriage and family therapist, practice owner, and professor of counselor education who took a passion for training the next generation of mental health providers and turned it into a multi six-figure business that designs the courses that teach mental health providers how to be clinical supervisors. Teaching graduate students and seasoned counselors, I learned about the fears. Fears about failing, quitting toxic work environments where you're seeing 80 clients a week, fears about starting a private practice, running out of money, getting in trouble by the licensing board, the IRS, you name it. I created the Texas Counselors Creating Badass Businesses community so mental health providers like you could have a step-by-step guide and learn actionable steps to achieve the security, freedom, and satisfaction of a counseling career you'll love. Look, you had the dream to become a mental health professional. You got the degree, you took the exams, you put in the time, whatever your business is, a private practice, maybe you want to sell courses like I do, you're adding clinical supervision, you want to write a book or get paid to speak, whatever it is, you are too important to your community to lose to getting in trouble, giving up, going broke, and burning out. Are you ready to break through those fears once and for all? I thought so. Let's get to work.
Welcome to Texas Counselors Creating Badass Businesses, where it's all about working smarter, not harder. And here's your host, Dr. Kate Walker,
who enjoys calling during long car rides.
You know the kind of tax specialist I like to interview? The kinds that keep me organized and save me money. And believe me, Alan Pruitt is both. He is the real deal. He will help you make changes today to your practice, to your maybe that little cubbyhole office that you have where you have little cardboard boxes of receipts. He's going to help you get your act together. Alan Pruitt is a CPA and he knows counselors. In fact, he specializes in helping counselor business owners. And he spoke to us at the 2023 Group Practice Summit. You're going to love this presentation. And speaking of the 2023 Group Practice Summit, you need to get on the wait list for the 2024 Group Practice Summit. It is so easy to do. You just go to katewalkertraining.com/2024GPS. That's katewalkertraining.com/2024GPS. All right, let's listen to Alan and get to work.
Guys, how are we doing? Friday evening. I get to cap it off to talk about the most fun thing in the world, taxes, right? We all always love talking about taxes, or at least I do. So I want you guys to keep the energy up. How about we jump right into this? So cash pay, insurance, tax planning for therapists. That's what I want to dig into today. And so me, I'm a CPA, the therapist CPA, soon to be trademarked. And so what I do is I'm a CPA who's dedicated to mental health professionals. And so I want to help you guys understand how to maximize your practices, how to grow them properly. What I love doing is, I don't know about you guys, I'm a big fan of learning from other people's mistakes. And so that's what I'm here to do and to help you shortcut that process to truly end up in your dream practice, to be where you want to be, to go where you want to go. And so me, I've always been someone who's been a little bit of a business nerd. My parents had their own business. My parents actually did taxes. They had their own tax firm. And so I was actually doing taxes when I was in high school. And so my dad showed me kind of the ropes and, you know, go off to college. I'm thinking, yeah, that's what my parents did. I'm not going to go down this whole tax route. But we see where I am. Because as I got into it, I realized I just loved it. It was something that was fun to me. And then how I kind of got into the therapist mental health professional piece is that my amazing wife is an LPC. And so she started her own practice. And so kind of within that, I kind of learned the ins and outs of, you know, what needs to be done, how it needs to be done. And within that, I've learned that most of you guys don't really like spreadsheets and numbers as much as I do. So I'm a huge fan of it. But yeah, so that's how I realized that there's truly a need there to kind of help you guys break down the things that you need to understand to have a successful, whether it's a solo practice, whether it's a group practice or whatnot, to make sure that you guys are thriving in whichever, you know, arena you choose. So yeah, so that's a little bit about me. So we're going to go over a few things today. Cash pay versus insurance, you know, how we can be a profitable therapist. We're going to go over some business credit stuff, and we want to talk about tax planning. And of course, I want to answer any questions that you guys might have. And then I have a playbook for you at the end as well. So as I mentioned, as we're going along, let me know if you have any questions. So the difference between death and taxes, death doesn't get worse every time Congress meets. So that's just how it goes, you know, especially over the last few years, there have been so many different things going on with taxes and the tax code. Changes here, changes there, as most of you guys are probably in tune. Student loans, hey, they're getting forgiven. Oh, wait, no, pause. No, they're not. So, you know, so it's so many things going on in the world of taxes and Congress and all that fun stuff. So that's what I'm here to try to help you wade through and understand. So here's what I want to know. You guys tell me if you are cash pay only, drop cash pay, or if you have both, or insurance only as well, if you're insurance only as well. So I want to know a little bit of what I'm dealing with here. Okay, got a couple cash pays. Okay, cash, a little bit of both. Okay, wonderful. Predominantly insurance, but both. So as I mentioned, you know, as we kind of talked about in our previous one, is that cash pay versus, you know, insurance. It's so many things that really go into this decision. And the most favorite CPA answer ever, it depends. You know, anytime you ask a CPA any questions, like, well, it depends. But so what that means is, as we touch on just a little bit, who is your dream client? That is, I think, probably the driving force behind it. Because if you're looking at single mothers or you're looking at lower income families and those are who you are truly led to help, then cash pay might not, or at least cash pay only might not be the best option for you. Because even in general, keep in mind, cash pay is going to be a little bit more of a slow burn because insurance is the one that's doing the marketing for you. So therefore, that's why you get lower rates. But the benefits to cash pay is, yeah, your advertising, as you know, SEO, those type things, those expenses are going to go up if you're doing solely cash pay, which is great. But, you know, obviously that still reduces and eats into, you know, some of your profits. But if you're doing it well, if you're doing it at a high level, if you're maximizing all the opportunities that are out there, it can definitely be more profitable. Like I say, it's more profitable, but it depends on who you want to serve. And as you are making that decision, one of the things we want to talk about, as I mentioned, the riches are in the niches. And so you have to essentially niche down to make sure that that is who you want to serve. And so I have a few clients who do professionals. I have some that niche down to the medical field, doctors, physicians, areas like that. And so when you're doing that, then, hey, it kind of makes sense that you can do self-pay or you do cash pay and be successful, have a full caseload. So, but you still have to be optimizing everything on your end, SEO, marketing, advertising. One of the biggest things that one of the presenters talked about is even just something as simple as Google My Business. People are going to Google My Business. Where do you go when you need to find something? You go to Google. But how many of you, if you have a Google business profile figure fully filled out, if you do have your Google profile filled out, give me a yes in the chat. Now, if you're one of those people who does not do it now, whether you are doing cash pay or whether you're doing insurance as a business owner, that is one of the things that you need to just, I mean, it probably takes 15, 20 minutes to really just fully fill out everything. So make sure you are doing that because whether you're insurance or not, you need to have your online profile fully filled out. So budget, plan, forecast. That is what we also need to be looking at is, okay, so what are we going to be charging? So are we charging $160 an hour, $175 an hour, $200 an hour if we are doing cash pay? And if that's the case, what is going to be our forecast? One of the things that we break down for our clients is we want to look at your income per session. We want to look at your total revenue per session, and we want to look at your profit per session, because those are two very different numbers, keep in mind. So your top line revenue coming in, but then, hey, what is your bottom line profit that you're making? And so when your cash pay, obviously we have a higher charge on that, but you may have some, you know, additional expenses. You know, we're looking at SEO type things, which is expensive in and of itself. If you guys have ever looked into that, it is not cheap because it is something of a, you know, kind of specialized thing. And so that is very important to do. And then one of the things I like to mention is doing content, doing social media, taking advantage of that arena as well, especially if you are a cash pay. I think that is super important because you want to be out there. You want to be, you know, because where are people on Instagram? People on Twitter, people on TikTok. Where do you go when you're winding down? You know what I mean? And so you need to go as business owners, you need to go where the people are. And so I think that is a super important thing. And when you do that as a CPA who likes the tax plan and is proactive in tax planning, guess what? If you are putting yourself out there, if you're doing content, if you're marketing that way, then that stuff becomes tax deductible. So yeah, Instagram is free, but if the stuff that you are buying and you're doing videos, you're going places, you're spending this, you're spending that, you know, you're going somewhere and you're recording content at that place, well, now that becomes a tax deduction for you. So we are getting to deduct all those kinds of items. So yeah, absolutely. And so, yes, yeah, so I think that is great. Where are you marketing? Looking at your area, you know, first off, first and foremost, one of the presenters mentioned that, like making sure, hey, you at least have your 10-mile radius squared away, Google business profile and your radius squared away, because that's who's going to be probably looking you up first. And so you want to be optimized where you're the first name that shows up in your side of town. And so I think that's super important.
Alan, do you want questions like as we go? Or
yeah,
do you
go
want
ahead. Yeah, okay, that's great. So let's go for it.
We've got one. You mentioned a profitable client. How do you pick a profitable client? Talk more about that. There's a client who's going to come for 2 sessions, 5 sessions, 10 sessions, 20 sessions. So is that an insurance client? Is that a cash pay client? So there are a lot of things that go into that answer, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
it is.
Including the diagnosis, unfortunately, right? I mean,
Yeah. So that's actually one of the good things to be tracking. And I think it's especially important if you are doing cash pay is just seeing, hey, what is your duration of a client? Mm-hmm. So I think that's one of the important things there. So I think maybe that's what they're talking about is like, So if your average cash pay client, let's say we're charging $175 a session, and let's say we keep that client around for 6 months, 9 months, a year. Let's look at the total value of that client and see, okay, hey, we can typically expect for every client that comes in, hey, this is the duration that they will be with us. And this is their basic lifetime value of income to our private practice. And so I think that is one of the things, which is why I'm so big on looking at your numbers, on tracking your numbers, Looking through your report screen. We have a lot of templates that we help our therapists with to make sure that we are looking at all the important factors that go into your numbers. But if you're going to do this, you're going to be a business owner. There's just no way around the numbers, no way around it. We're here to help and assist you any way that we can. Because like I say, I love it. It's fun to me looking through a P&L, setting out a forecast for the year, looking at, hey, what can we write off? What kind of tax plan and stuff can we do? That's super fun. But you do have to be looking at it as a business. We were talking about earlier, like no shows. Like, yes, we need to charge for no shows. And they call you 10 minutes before. Hey, you can't fill that spot in 10 minutes. That's income that you are expecting to make. So we need to be charging them for that. So yes, that's a great question. So to be a profitable therapist, yes, it's very, very possible. A lot believe that it's not. A lot believe that maybe because you are in it to help people that you shouldn't make money at it. No, that is absolutely incorrect. So it is very possible to make a difference and make money at the same time. And so what we love to do, what we are big on is goal setting, is I want to know what the vision for your practice is. I want to know where you want to be at over the next 2 years. Because for most of our clients, we do at least quarterly tax planning sessions. And so each quarter, we want to be going over those goals. We want to be reviewing where you're at. you know, hey, in 2 years, I just started last year as a solo. In 2 years, I have aspirations to, you know, opening a group, to hiring a contractor, to hiring a W-2. Well, great. Well, let's start making our way towards that each time that we're talking. Slow progress is still progress. And so you have to be intentional on the goals that you want, because if you're not, then you'll just kind of keep doing the same thing. But I think it is super important to write goals down. For all of our clients, we had at the beginning of the year, a 2022 reflection questionnaire and a 2023 goal setting questionnaire, because we want to know where you want to be at this year and we want to help you get there. So I think it's super important to be intentional and to set goals. As we kind of talked about, you have to know your numbers, your revenue per session, your profit per session, what's your monthly overhead? So, and then to reverse engineer that number, hey, find out what your monthly overhead is. How much are you charging per session? Okay, I know that I need to have at least this many to break even and to pay all my set bills that I have. And then, okay, so let's say that number is 10 sessions per week. Well, then I know anything after that, well, hey, that's all profit. Taxes aside, but we'll talk about tax planning in a minute. But I know from there, that is all profit from there. So it is super important to know all your numbers. W-2 versus contractor. As we've gone over, of course, it depends on where you want to go and what you're trying to do. Because no doubt about it, having a W-2 employee is more expensive than having a contractor. It is. But sometimes that expense is worth it. If you want to build a culture, if you want to have a set, you know, vibe or feeling around your practice, then I think it's important to have W-2s. If you want to grow and cultivate a staff, that's important. And then also, I'm a big sports guy, played football in college, love sports to this day. I look at it this way. One of the things that can help with that is that when you're talking about a sports team, people always talk about, do you go out and bring in a high price free agent, or do you build from the draft? Well, one of the ways you can build a successful practice with W-2s is being a supervisor, bringing in interns, bringing in associates as W-2, because then they grow with you. You are basically building through the draft, whereas contractors are, you know, you were hiring people from the outside. Yes, they're getting the work done. However, they're not necessarily going to be a part of your quote unquote culture. And they might not be there very long, because it's like, hey, this next practice, you know, pays me 10 bucks more per session. Well, hey, that adds up over 20 sessions a week. So see you later. You know, so there is some of that. So it's two ways to look at it. It's a double-edged sword, where W-2s are more expensive, but they are usually what I like to call stickier, you know, because they'll usually stay with you longer. Contractors are less expensive, but they might not be with you for the long haul. I've seen it successful both ways. I have clients who have three or four different locations, 20 plus contractors, or two or three locations with 10 to 12 W-2s. It just really depends the area in which that you want to go. But I will tell you, contractors are going to be less expensive to the bottom line, because they're responsible for their own taxes. Business credit, that is important. And I think something that doesn't get talked about enough. And so we're going to go into that in just a little bit, because think of it this way. When you are building your business and you build business credit, it allows you usually to get the funding that you need to grow where you want to go. And so that, I think, is super important as you are trying to build into a group, as you're trying to expand, having capital, having the funding there. So that's what I absolutely love to talk about. In taxes, we're going to get in that in just a minute too. You can't play the game if you don't know the rules. And if you're a business owner, you are in the game, whether you think you are or not. You're in the game of taxes. And so, yeah, so we're going to go over some of that too. So let's dive a little bit into business credit. All right. So let me kind of explain to you guys some of the important things of business credit. It is actually, in 90 days, you could build actually a pretty decent credit, business credit profile. One, as we talked about, you have to establish your business and your business profile. If you have your PLLC, if you have your EIN, you have a website, this is your homework. For anybody who does not have their Google My Business fully filled out, write that down to make that your homework this weekend or next week to do that. Bank account, a DUNS number. A lot of people don't realize this. Dun & Bradstreet number. for businesses that are lending out credit and funds, that's one of the things that they look at. So you can apply for a DUNS number for free, setting up a NAV and Experian account, checking your credit scores, because that's where you're able to check your credit scores. Business trade line accounts. What this does is some of these are kind of like 30-day, almost like credit cards, but 30-day trade line accounts where it builds your business credit. And then, of course, business credit cards and business lines of credit, because I think those are valuable. You know, how valuable would it be and how much stress would it take off of you if you've done all these things, you built your business, you're starting your practice, you've built your business profile, but then you can go to a bank and have a $50,000 line of credit as you're trying to grow your practice. I mean, can anybody use $50,000? If you can use $50,000 in the business line of credit, drop me in the chat. See, I thought so. I didn't think it was just me, but that is a possibility because as a business owner, you are to the banks and to the lenders, you are actually seen as an asset, as a business owner with credit. But when you are an individual trying to get credit, you're actually seen as a liability. And so these lending institutions, they're more willing to give you business credit when you do all of these things, when your business profile is set up, when you've had your business established. And so that is why it is super important to do that because that helps you grow. I don't know about you, but it makes sense. If I want to grow, sometimes I need a little bit of extra funding. So we want to have a strong cash flow. We want to know our numbers, but to have a little bit of a cushion there that can help us, I think is very, very valuable. How many years does it take to build business credit? Not very long. You can actually build business credit within 90 to 120 days, honestly, by doing these things I listed here. And actually, I even have a list of banks that you can actually get funding at, sometimes even without a credit check or without a, you know, 2-3 year business credit profile. It is very, very possible. So it does not take long to build a business credit at all, but you have to be set up properly though. All right. So let's get into some fun tax planning stuff. You tell me, one of your biggest expenses in life and business in general, taxes, of course. And as I always tell people, we love tipping waitresses, but we never want to tip the IRS. I don't know about you, but I like keeping my hard-earned money, especially as you're growing a business, you know, as you're up late, as you're doing all these things that are required of your business, we want to keep as much of that in your pockets as possible. And so I tell people this, the IRS is nothing but a rewards program. Believe it or not, it's no different than Chick-fil-A stars, Amazon Prime, airline miles, because what they want you to do, two things the IRS wants you to do. They want you to be business owners. They want you to be investors. Because if you're business owners, you are providing jobs to people that they don't have to, that they don't have to fund. And so therefore, you get rewarded for doing that. And when you're investing, that means you are putting money back into the economy. You are buying rentals. You're putting money in stock in the stock market. You are spearheading the economy. So you get tax breaks for doing that. And when we're talking about tax planning, if you change the facts, you pay less in tax. What that truly means is anything can be a tax deduction. It's just the facts and circumstances around it to determine if it is or not. If I want to go and buy a Ferrari just to drive it to my office, well, you know, it's not really a tax deduction. It's nice, but not a tax deduction. However, if I'm Tom Cruise and I have a movie coming up that I'm in a Ferrari and I need to learn how it drives and moves, well, that is a tax deduction because guess what? He's getting paid for that movie. Or as I was talking about earlier, if you go out and rent a Ferrari and you are putting it in content videos in hopes to making money, well, that could be a tax deduction. So in this day and age, content is probably the biggest thing, especially as we're talking about cash pay, where being on socials, putting things on your website, that's super important to help you get that line of people in. But the beautiful thing about that is that you then get to write these things off. So that is really good there. So let's see. Yes, they're going to get their money one way or another. Yes, but there are ways for us to reduce that, and I will show you how.
Membership, shmembership. Why would anyone want to join a membership? because you're sick and tired of trying to find great information that will help you start your career, grow a practice, stay out of trouble, and oh, by the way, not be boring and outdated. You already know I specialize in helping you grow your skill set and career with quality courses on demand that people actually want to finish. But why should you have to pay for every single resource I offer? Let me introduce the Step It Up membership. Step It Up members have access to over 50 trainings on everything from preparing your accounts for tax season to using SEO to improve your Google rankings, writing a book, staying HIPAA compliant, to learning how to create a press kit if you want to start public speaking. You also get access to over 25 courses that you can use as continuing education and that meet the new Texas 50% from an approved provider rule. Are you a supervisor looking for a consultation group? Step It Up members get free tickets to the Texas Supervisor Coalition monthly live consultation group featuring great speakers and incredible up-to-the-minute information to keep your license safe. Feel overwhelmed by lots of choices and want an interactive training with a real live person? I've got you covered. Step It Up members get weekly live training with me every single week. And did I mention that Step It Uppers get a coupon for $100 off the 40-hour training to become an LPC or LMFT supervisor in Texas? Yeah, you get that too. You're the one working your butt off, sweating through the summer, corralling kids, and facing slumps in your client load. I want to help. All summer long, I'm offering a 50% discount on the annual and monthly plan for the Step It Up membership. No contracts, and if you don't like it, quit anytime you like, but you're gonna love it. You are too important to lose because you pay too much for online courses, you sat through expensive, boring live trainings, and you got suckered into long-term commitments with memberships that just didn't deliver. It's time to take the next step in your counseling career. And it's super easy to do. Just go to katewalkertraining.com/podcast. That's katewalkertraining.com/podcast. But you gotta act fast. This is going away as soon as the summer ends. So get the discount, get the resources, and take your practice to the next level. I'll see you on the inside.
So we're gonna go into a couple things. So, few tax-saving strategies for therapists. Who likes a good sale? Does anybody like a good sale, right? Tell me this. What's some of the best sale prices that you've had? What's the percentage off that some of you guys have gotten on good stuff? Drop it in the chat for me. Some of the best percentages off, obviously outside of 100%, but some's free. I get that. 50%, 60%, 50%. Yeah, there we go. So those are good sales prices. So check this out. When you're buying something for business, you're usually getting at least a 30% sale on it because that is the amount of a deduction that you get to take. That is the amount that you keep of what you're spending. So let's say you're going out and you buy a new office chair for $100. Well, that really only cost you 70 because you're getting 30 bucks of that back. So you're getting 30 bucks of that back in a refund to actually reduce your tax liability. And so I tell people this, obviously we don't want to go crazy. We don't want to overspend on business if we don't have to, but if it is something that is going to make you money or make your life easier for you to make money, then you should do it because you are typically getting at least 30% off of anything that you buy for business. S-corp election. I know that's always a big question on when should I move to S-corp, so on and so forth. It's the big fancy word that's out there now, but I'll be going into a little bit on S-corp and I'll show you some of the calculations here in just a minute on S-corp. So I get to write off the money I use for marketing my ideal client. Yes, larger purchase in the depreciation value for taxes. Ooh, yes. So for talking about depreciation, there is a tax law. Maybe some of you guys heard about it. 6,000 pound rules, section 179 deduction. That is for basically large purchases. If you bought a vehicle in 2022, that was over 6,000 pounds and you use it at least 51% for business, you get to write that vehicle off as a business expense. So let's say you bought a $60,000 car, you drive a 51% business, Well, hey, that's basically a $31,000 deduction for you on your taxes. So bonus depreciation is very real. So S-corp election, I will go into that. Income shifting, hiring your kids. Did you know you can hire your kids into your business?
Okay, I got to say, Ellen, I did that, but I forgot to tell her to put money aside to pay taxes.
Oh, to pay taxes. Yep.
Yeah, that's my bad. Yeah, I was a bad mom. That 1099'd her and she's like, hey, exactly. Why do I owe so much? Okay, so yeah, tell your kids to put money aside.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, oops. I'm assuming over 17, right, Kate?
25.
Yeah. So now the good thing is the sweet spot for this, 7 to 17, or even 6 sometimes, 6 to 17, because then you can pay them up to $13,850 and they don't even have to file a tax return because the standard deduction is $13,850. So if you're that or under, so that is almost $14,000 in tax deductions. Imagine if you have two kids, $28,000, especially for you out there with teenagers. Oh my gosh. So yes. So if you have teenagers.
I used to do that too, by the way, when they were teenagers. No, I did. I would have them make graphics for me. Yes. I would have them work on my website. They were learning how to do SEO. They were answering business calls and filing. I mean, I had them do anything and I'd write them off.
You're a smart woman, Kate.
Well, exactly. I learned from people like you, Alan. This is why I do this. This is why I do these webinars.
Absolutely. Because guys, like two kids is $28,000. Like, come on, that you get to take right off the top of your income. So we'll be going into that a little bit as well. Augusta rule. So what this means is on the Augusta rule, this is if you have a LLC or a PLLC, your LLC can pay you directly to have meetings at your house up to 14 times a year. So let's say your house would typically rent out, just say for $400 on Airbnb for a night. Everybody knows you rent on Airbnb, they have outrageous cleaning fees. Well, hey, we get to add that cleaning fee on there. Let's say you add $150 in a cleaning fee. So that's $550 14 times a year that is now a tax deduction for you for having a meeting at your house, which you're probably doing anyways. So that's why I say you have to know the rules if you're going to play the game. Yes. Can you deduct the wages you pay your child even if they don't file a return? Absolutely. That's the whole point of it. If they're 17 and under, then they don't have to file a return because we're paying them that $13,850 or less. Board of directors. So this is huge. So I always suggest creating a board of directors or board of advisors if you are a LLC. Because what this means is this is a close group of individuals that you talk business with that can help your company go into the right direction. As most of us are business owners and entrepreneurs anyways, we're probably talking business just about all the time. And as you grow and expand, most of your friends and family are probably entrepreneurs as well. So by creating an actual board, that allows you to have a quarterly board meeting. And guess what? That quarterly board meeting becomes tax deductible. So probably something you're already doing. And guess what? If you have some friends, if you have family that you discuss it with, who's to say that this board meeting couldn't be over Thanksgiving? And the meal that you buy is your turkey and your dressing and your yams and your green bean casserole. You're allowed to buy food for a board meeting. And so why not let's take that and make it a business deduction? Because for those of you here, the first day, shout out to LaShasta. She was talking about her security team. Like that is exactly what I was thinking. Like your security team is your board of directors. And so we get to write those things off. So yeah, absolutely. So business meals, that's one of the things that probably goes underreported the most because how many of you are going out to restaurants and talking about business, but not writing it off? Hence also why business credit cards are important because then we put this on business credit cards, we're able to write it off. We get the points for that and we get to deduct the amounts. We're just coming off of two unicorn years where in 2021 and 2022, the IRS actually allowed 100% deduction for business meals, whereas typically it's always been 50%. But because of COVID, they were trying to put more money back into the restaurant industry. So business meals were 100% deduction over the last 2 years. Now they're back down to 50%, which is where they've always been. But that's still a 50% deduction if you're talking business. I don't know about you, but I think every little bit counts. And then, of course, retirement planning and saving is a big one, too, especially as a private practice owner, especially on your own. That is huge. You can actually save up to almost, I think, right at $60,000 as a business owner, because you get $21,000 for yourself to put into retirement. But then as a business owner, you can put up to 25% of your profits. So that's a great way to reduce taxable income and save for retirement because you're a business owner.
Hey, you've got a couple of questions about the board of directors.
Let's go for it. Can you have a board of directors for your PLLC? Yes, it would technically be called a board of advisors. Board of directors would be a S corp. A board of advisors you can still have for your PLLC. Absolutely. Business meals aren't able to be written off. Nope, incorrect. You can still write off business meals. Absolutely. How do you start paying monthly to the IRS and file amended tax returns at the end of the year? All these write-offs being what we file as amendments, especially if our income fluctuates. You might have to restate that one for me. Can you speak about if we have to have a PLLC or a LLC? That's a great question. If you're in Texas, if your job as a therapist requires you to have a professional license, which it does, then you should have a PLLC, a professional limited liability company. If you are a coach, a consultant, that doesn't require a professional license. And so therefore, you don't have to have a PLLC. But as a therapist who has to be licensed to perform therapy, yes, you should have a PLLC in Texas. Okay, so let's look at what we would do for a typical tax plan. So this is what we kind of set up for our clients. So one of the things we talked about, S-corps, going from a LLC or PLLC to a S-corp. So let's say we have $125,000. Let's say you were one of those cash pays. You're crushing it. You're doing $125,000 a year. Let's say we have $50,000 in expenses. Well, on the left side of the PLLC or LLC, $75,000 net profit, right? But you have to pay self-employment tax because you pay both sides of it. So you take 92% of it, and then you get to take 15.3% of that. That gives you total payroll tax of $10,600. However, let's take those same numbers and move you to an S-corp. 125 less 50, same $75,000, but now we're paying you a salary through your business. Usually we do anywhere 30, 40, 50%, give or take, as a salary, because you can still always take money out of your S-corp outside of payroll. But now you do pay employer payroll taxes, but guess what? That's tax deductible though. So now look at the net income difference, 75 versus 46. And now you are paying payroll taxes through your W-2, but look at the tax savings between 10.6 in total payroll taxes or between 2,500. So that is why people say switched over to an S-corp. But it only makes sense if you have about at least a $50,000 net. Anything less than that, then it's just about even. Your PLLC or LLC stays intact. This is a election with the IRS, and you do have to run a payroll because you have to pay yourself a payroll in an S-corp. But let's say you're making this over $100,000, 100, 115, 125. We just saved you $8,000 in taxes just by making that switch right there. So that's the first thing. Let me see. We have a question. What if you do payroll under LLC? Oh, that's a great one. Always get that one. You do not have to run payroll if you're an LLC, if you are stop, because there's no reason to run payroll if you're LLC, because the way the IRS sees a LLC or PLLC is that it is a sole proprietorship still to the IRS. And because you are no separate than your LLC, so you paying yourself isn't a deduction for you in an LLC. So yes, you do not have to run payroll when you are LLC. Can you be a sole practitioner S-corp? Yes, as long as you have a LLC, you can elect S-corp status. If I have an LLC, how hard is it to transition to a PLLC? Yeah, it sucks because you kind of have to pay the fee again, because I don't think that, maybe it's half, because I know in Texas, registrate, and actually Texas is one of the most expensive states for business formations. You're looking at about $300 to do it. Other states are like $50, $60, but it's $300 in Texas. And I think if you switch, I think you have to pay at least $150, but I think sometimes they make you just basically reapply. So you still have to pay the whole $300. Okay, so income shifting. We talked a little bit about this. Now you have to set your kids up with their own bank account. They do not have to file a tax return. Who wants tax deductible Christmas presents? So it's a no-brainer to me when you have kids to be paying them something. Even if we're not maxing out 14K, you'd be paying them something. And the reason why I say six is because that's about the age where they could probably get close to maxing it out by doing stuff consistently every week, every month. It's hard to say a two-year-old can do enough to earn $14,000 because they do have to be having legitimate jobs in your business. So yeah, and then, so now as we're talking about hiring kids, can I over-deliver for you guys? I want to over-deliver right here as we're talking about paying your kids. Next level tax planning is if you have a, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old, 12, 15, whatever, let's set up a custodial IRA for them. So we can start now and build a retirement plan for them now. Because check this out, we're going to pay them this $13,850. We're going to take $6,500 of that and put that into a custodial IRA. And then check this out. Let's say we have an 8-year-old. We're putting that $6,500 per month, per year into a custodial IRA. $108,000 by the time they're going to college. $108,000. And you only put $6,500 in. And on top of that, the beautiful thing about a IRA, because this will be a custodial Roth IRA. So with a Roth, it forever grows tax-free. Any distributions from it are tax-free. But guess what? You didn't pay taxes on it to begin with because you paid your kid through your business. You see what I'm saying? And then as they're going to college, on top of that, you can actually still take out the amount that you put into it, your invested capital. You can still take out that $65,000 with no penalties. So if they're going to school and, hey, you need some expenses or they have expenses going to college, you know, of course, kids are expensive, but that's why we pay them through the business because we get to write it off. But you can still take out $65,000 with no penalties at all. So that's why it is a no-brainer if you have kids to be paying them through the business and then set up a custodial IRA. So let's look at this overall tax plan. So this is what we will kind of do for our clients. But let me see. Can you clarify the payroll question? You don't run payroll only if you're a solo practitioner in an LLC, correct? Yes, that is correct, Angie. So if you are a LLC, you do not need to run a payroll. I've had clients come to me and they've, you know, previous people have told them to run payroll as an LLC. No, stop. Because you don't have to. I mean, save the money, save the expense on it. There's no reason because you can't base, it's not a deduction for you as a LLC. So correct. I would not do payroll in an LLC. So let's look at this. So business expenses, the whole point of tax planning is to take personal expenses and take them into business expenses. Because everyone asks, how is the richest of the rich, the wealthiest of the wealthy, never paying any taxes? How are these CEOs of Fortune 500 companies getting $20,000 in salary? One, as I mentioned earlier, they control everything but own nothing. And that's why business credit is important because everything's in their businesses. So therefore, everything's a deduction within their businesses. And then two, is because they're taking their personal expenses and putting them on the business. But you can legitimately do it though. And so that's what we do. We do an overall audit. So let's say we're able to find you $500 a month in previous things you were paying for. One of those being business meals, as we talked about, that goes underreported. So now we have $250 in business meals per month. We have $500 in business expenses per month that we're now able to write off. We do that S-Corp election that we just talked about. Just say we have one kid. We're maxing out that income shifting there. That's a direct tax savings of almost $4,000 plus the full-on tax-free money. The Augusta rule, let's say $575 a meeting, 14 times a year. That's now $8,000 in tax-free money, and your direct tax savings on that is $2,200. Our board of directors, let's say we have a meeting a quarter, and that meeting could be in Texas. I mean, it could be in LA. I mean, it could be in New York. I mean, it could be in Jamaica. And as long as you're documenting, as long as you guys are talking about business, the IRS only requires that you talk about business for 4 hours a day for it to be considered a business day. So you get a travel day going there. You get a travel day coming back. So check this play. Let's say you leave on a Wednesday, come back on a Monday. So Wednesday's a travel day. Monday's a travel day. And then on Thursday and Friday, you have your board meetings. You do 4 hours. Hey, that 2 hours could be a breakfast, 2 hours at dinner where you're talking about business, where you're setting up your business for success. You're doing all these things. And then the weekends, don't matter. The IRS doesn't care about the weekends because it's the weekend. It's a non-business day. So now you go on Wednesday through Monday with your board of directors, and that's a full tax deduction. So that's what I say about you have to know the rules if you're going to play the game. So we go through all this self-employed health insurance, retirement savings. We have tax-free money of almost $22,000 just between the Augusta rule and the income shifting. We have direct tax savings of $23,000 almost. So that's $45,000 that we've now saved in our business. So that is how we set up tax planning.
You know, because you're married to one, we're very cautious people.
Yes.
You know, and we don't want to make a mistake. And now that, you know, our LPC associates can own their own business and we want to make sure we're guiding them in the right direction. Mm-hmm. And so this is wonderful information. This is amazing. I mean, this is really, and I know people are going to contact you to really drill down into, okay, what does that actually look like? Give me an example. And I know you can do that. Absolutely. So thank you. Thank you so much for doing this. And I can't wait for everybody to contact you and get blown away by the replay too. So
Absolutely. I would love to. And that's one of the things we do. And so that's why and we have full on tax planning packages that we do for clients, and we actually do all the legwork for you. So I'm talking about the board of directors. So you tell me, hey, we went to Jamaica. We went to the Bahamas. I had my board there. We set up your board documents for you. You tell me you went and we get all that documentation for you. So it is fully audit proof. So you don't have to worry about it. I just need the information from you. And we put together your board meeting minutes because that's the main requirement when you're having a board meeting, what you talked about, who was there, when was it, you know? So we put all that stuff together for you so you don't have to worry about it.
I love it. Well, thank you. Thank you very much. And I know you're going to be getting more questions. And yeah, I can guarantee you're going to get more questions. You're going to get them from me, right? I'm going to be reaching out. I'm not even kidding. So Alan, thank you so much. We're up against 8 o'clock and it's so nice to meet you too. And this was awesome. If y'all come back, I'd love to have you back sometime.
You name it, I'm there.
All right.
This was awesome. You guys have been great. Thank you so much.
Hey, badasses, we can all agree that counselors want a path to a successful counseling career, but that means you have to find quality training. That's not even the real barrier. The real problem is a lot of information can be overwhelming, and you, my badass, are busy. So you're probably asking yourself, how can I improve my practice while still caring for people? How do I grow my skill set, become a supervisor, without losing my work-life balance? How do I find quality training that won't cost too much time and money? Bottom line, counselors who want a successful counseling career value the goal of growing their skill set and even becoming a supervisor, but at the same time struggle with finding time to attend quality courses. Counselors can't overcome this barrier because so many times courses with tempting titles overpromise and underperform. Let me ask you something. What if there were courses that delivered exactly what they promised, that didn't take a lot of time, and didn't break the bank? That's exactly the kind of course we design at Kate Walker Training. I specialize in helping you grow your skill set and career with quality courses on demand. And we have so many to choose from. If you're asking yourself, where do I go if I want to sustain my practice and grow my marketing presence? Well, check out the Step It Up membership. What do you do if you're ready to pay it forward and add streams of income? Well, check out the supervisor training. See if you're eligible. If you're looking for an experience that's more hands-on, keep an eye out for open enrollment for Badass Basics and our exclusive mastermind groups. Dr. Kate Walker, thank you so much for listening to Texas Counselors Creating Badass Businesses. Thank you to Ridgely Walker for her lovely voiceovers at our introduction. And do me a favor, when you get a second, please like, share, and subscribe, and write us a review. That's really how we get picked up by other RSS feeds, and we get this information out to the mental health badasses who need it. Thanks again, and keep saving the world with excellent therapy.